transition from traditional services to composite services. And what do we mean by that? I mean, on the way here, I passed by one of these billboards I was talking about that changed, and it had a "Come visit Latvia" sign on it, and that sounded quite interesting. I always quite fancied going to Latvia, and that's really how adverts work. In your head, they'll sort of awaken an idea, which you then have to go away and act upon. But the ability exists to really make that much more of a compelling offering. So, for example, you could imagine, and this is just an idea that I was thinking of on the way, in this sort of line of work, when you start to realise what is possible, you become something a bit of a future scenario geek, which is kind of what I've become now. I spend a lot of my time thinking about how things could work in the future. But you could imagine, visit Latvia, so with my phone, I could grab that image, perhaps, so the phone knows I'm interested in Latvia. Now, traditionally, what I would need to do if I wanted to go to Latvia, perhaps, is research about Latvia, first of all. Do I really want to go there? Where are the good places to go? If I decide I want to go there, I then have to go ahead and book the flight, book a hotel, book transport to the airport. In order to do that, I also need to do things like work out when can I go, do I have enough money to go, might be another aspect as well. From a user point of view, there's a lot of work that's involved in all those steps. They're all possible. I could do all that on my iPhone if I wanted to, but I've still got to think about what do I need to do, what are all the steps I need to do, what are all the things I need to check off on my list if I want to go to Latvia. Now, with this idea of composite services, the intelligence in the network, the device, can all come together to make those decisions for you, to smooth that path through. So coming back to this scenario, I could grab the idea of Latvia onto my phone. It could then use what it knows about me to understand that I like to go for weekend breaks, I like to fly with British Airways, for example. It can look at my calendar and work out when I can go. It can check I have enough money to go, and it can make all these decisions for me, basically composing all these different services together. So I'm no longer having to look at my calendar, I'm no longer having to go to British Airways to book a flight, I'm no longer having to go to a hotel site to book it. Perhaps I want to go with my wife as well. In that case, that's another complexity to the equation. I've got to interface with her, work out, does my calendar sync with hers, yes or no. That is another way in which a part of the service could be added to this overall scenario. So what we're really looking at is a way in which all these different areas, all these different separate services are brought together in a particular instance. And that's really what this Rubik's Cube idea here is trying to illustrate, the fact that depending on who you are, where you are, what you're interested in, you can change the composition of these various services. So no longer, like on the left, we have our traditional services you have to go to, but they're broken up and they combine together in intelligent and flexible ways. And that's a real, really interesting development, I think, we're going to see. That's services. Also, of course, users who are using the services are evolving too. And it's very important that we bear this in mind when we are conducting our research. It's very easy to go researching away, you know, sort of ivory tower type of fashion. What we want to do is make sure that whatever we come across is relevant, that we're researching down the relevant path. I mean, these names up here, they're all part of our lives now. It's hard to imagine a life without Google. For many people, Facebook is an absolute essential. They spend many hours a day on it. eBay, for many people, is essential. Things like eBay have transformed wealth in many ways. Your attic, full of what before was rubbish, is now full of stuff you can sell. Now, it's necessary to cast your mind back before these all existed, because there was a time, not very long ago, you know, we were all running around still at a point when none of this existed. And in many cases, it would have been very hard to envisage a social network. What is a social network? Why would I want a social network? That was actually my own reaction originally when I heard of social networks. Now I'm a member of several of them, and it's difficult to imagine life without them. So this part of the user interactions workstream is really looking at the development of social trends, of what are the things that are coming into fashion, what are the things, developments that we can anticipate are going to happen. And we need to use these as a sort of focus for the work that we're doing, to make sure that we really capitalise on that. And of course, with that, we have all sorts of new economic opportunities opening up. You know, 20 years ago, the concept of pay-per-click ads, what would that be? I mean, that's a huge moneymaker now, a very, very useful way of generating revenue, and also useful for people who are using the service too. eBay takes a cut out of every auction that goes on. But what are the other ways in which we can look at new economic opportunities that open up with these new social trends? That's going to be a focus of what we're looking at too. So through all this, you've got to bear in mind that expectations of users and desires of users is going to become more sophisticated. Your heads today, your ideas of what telecommunications can provide will be very different in 10 years and will be much more demanding in 10 years. We want to try and map out how it's likely to evolve. So just to summarise it in terms of the vision of where we're going. Today, we're using quite sophisticated devices, which can do a lot, but our expectations are still very much in terms of individual services and individual concepts. What we're going to look to see in the future is a sort of mixing together of these. So we no longer think of a travel booking site, but we think of a travel informing my friends I'm also going and communicating service all built in at once, because that's relevant for me at that particular time. Without also the devices themselves are going to become more transparent, in that really it's what I want to do that's the key focus, not doing that on the device. And of course I talked about these composite services as well, and then decided open-ended concepts, that there isn't a set combination of services that exists, but this can change for any single person in this room at any single point in time depending on what they want to do. But we need to understand how we use information to make that work properly, and this is all going to be a focus of what we're looking at. Also, if we look today at how a device is, they're very individual, and that's probably not going to change, but we have fairly individual windows, and we have things that we tend to do with the PC, that we tend to do with the games console, tend to do with the satellite navigation, etc., etc., tend to do with the advertising billboard. Not that we're doing anything, but we're looking at information from it. The intercommunication between these devices is also limited. It does exist. You can sync from your phone to your PC. It's kind of an added feature at the moment, though. What we're looking at in the future is that this is an integral part. It's not even something you think about. There's a service behind all the devices, and these individual devices are really windows onto this background service. So a shared window, intercommunication will be a given between devices. And in terms of services, we have individual services at the moment, which the user very much has to compose themselves, make a decision, I need to use this service, now I need to use this service. In the future, we'll have these composite services which are different for you, which are different for me when I'm travelling on the tube to when I'm at home, because the context is different. And these will be composed largely automatically. It's always going to be necessary to elicit information from users at given times about what their choices are. But what we want is that the decisions we're asking from people are intelligent ones, and that stuff that we don't need to ask, that the system can know, is automatically taken account of. So that takes us to the programme. How are we going to achieve this vision? And that's really what User Interactions for Breakthrough Services is all about. So it's a 19.5 man-year programme in total, which runs over 3.5 years, and started already and will run till 2012. And there are 4 key universities who are actually doing the work, and then there are the industrial partners who are guiding them. And we're looking really 7 to 10 years as a timeline for when we would expect the results of this to actually be out there in the market. So in terms of the people who are involved with it, the universities, University of Bath, Glasgow, Bristol and LSE are the key partners that will be carrying out the work here. And we have a range of industrial members: Orange, NEC, Thales, Vodafone, BT, HMGCC, BBC and Turner. And really they're the people who've been engaged in the process so far, feeding in that information, helping develop the vision, helping develop what steps we're going to take to realise this vision. The way that the programme will work is that we have an industrial steering committee, so I'm chairman of that committee. We've got 2 industrial vice chairmen, Joe Cranscoy from the BBC and Robert Duxbury from NEC. And I think it's our job on a sort of almost day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, to just monitor things and make sure that things are running over as it would expect. We have an academic coordinator who's based at the University of Bath. Now, the way that the steering process works from this is that we want to make sure that the feedback from our industrial members is an integral part of the work. And so it's very important that we get that as often as possible, but in a pragmatic way. We couldn't be asking for it every day. So we've worked out a system by which we will run the programme, monitor the progress, and elicit the feedback. So the way that works is that we have a coordination steering group meeting every month. That's really to monitor progress, to check on that what's being done is what we agreed would be done and things are running as we would expect. And we have those every month, and that's really just an administration type affair. Then four times a year we have technical steering group meetings. And this takes a day. That happens, I'd say, every quarter. And the idea from there is to present the results of what research has been done so far. And at that point also collect input from the industrial members. So making sure that we are reiteratively presenting the information, collecting in input as well. So feedback from the industrial members is absolutely central and collected in this quite pragmatic way. In terms of the actual programme itself, we have four work packages. And I'll just describe a little bit about how these work packages are composed. And how we're getting to that end vision that I've described already. So the first work package is user requirements and service opportunities. Basically what we're looking at here is what are the emerging user trends, as I talked about before. Make sure that we're really focusing on where we think society is developing. And also where and how can revenue be generated from this? What are the revenue opportunities that are emerging from these developments? Absolutely critical to keep that in mind. The general way in which this work package is going to proceed is that we'll run workshops where we collect information from the industrial members to understand what the important elements are for each of them that we're going to have to take into account. So everybody's inputting into this, and we're making sure that all the work is going in the right direction, that we're focusing on the right sort of scenarios to make sure, as I said, that things are relevant. So workshops are going to be a key starting point in focusing the direction we're going on. Then the research and surveys that are carried out, looking at what's going on at the moment, what are these trends that are emerging. At the same time, we'll have prototypes that are being developed throughout the course of the work, and these will be evaluated as part of this work package as well, to make sure that what we're doing is valid for the people who will be ultimately using it. Second work package is to do with this interacting, as I mentioned, different ways in which you could interact, different modalities, gesture, voice recognition, etc., etc. And also, very critically, this idea of ecologies of devices. Now, not much work has been done on multi-device interactions. Quite a lot of work has been done on multimodal interaction and how does that work best. But the idea of combining that with different devices, the billboard that's up here, the traffic information that's over there, my PC at home, my television, my friends' mobile devices as well. How can we smooth interaction between these various different devices? That's really the focus here. The way this is going to run is that we'll have a state-of-the-art report, so really seeing what's the state-of-the-art at the moment. And then we'll be collecting in input from stakeholders as to what's important at various points, which are modalities which are more of interest, which are scenarios which are more of interest than others. And then going on throughout this work package will be a development of different prototypes of types of interaction, of types of multi-device interaction. And that will allow us to really, in a sort of chunk-by-chunk way, monitor how things are going and develop different specific aspects as the programme progresses. The third work package, service transparency and awareness, and this is really this idea of this intelligence, the context, understanding what's relevant for a particular user, what devices are there, what's the user doing at the moment. There's lots of exciting ways in which that information could be worked out. You know, most devices have GPS, we've got accelerometers, we can see who else is in the area by monitoring what devices are there, and there are many other ways as well. And this whole idea of using the contextual information is a central part of this work package here. So how can we be aware of these various different bits of information? How can we be aware of the context? And how can we use this contextual intelligence as well? And then, of course, how can we present useful information to users, ask them sensible questions, and when do we decide that's something they don't need to do? And it's a job that can be done automatically. And the way we're going to look at that is by developing a state-of-the-art report, which really talks about what's out there right now. And then looking at the modelling of contextual factors. So given where we've decided we're going to go, how would we then go about modelling those different aspects of context to make sure that we are producing a sensible dialogue between user and between system? And then, as I was describing for the last work package, there'll be a series of prototypes which are developed throughout the programme, focusing on different specific aspects. Now, there's a big gap very often between academic research and practical system design, and that's something that we really want to avoid in this programme, and that's what the fourth work package is about. So the idea is that from all this work, we're going to develop a set of design principles that will be easy for designers to take and use, and which are based on the empirical knowledge that we've discovered throughout the work package. We'll also be looking at putting together a toolkit of elements that different partners can take and use in their own way. Many of these we anticipate are going to be patentable, and it's all part and parcel of the benefits of being involved in MVCE. And then we'll show how these design principles and this toolkit can be put together in a particular scenario and produce a prototype scenario. That's not to say that all work is focused on realising this particular scenario. The idea is it's going to be a demonstrator for how all these different elements that we've been looking at come together into something tangible. And we can see the types of solutions we've been trying to develop. So, as I've been saying, really there's a lot of deliverables that are going to come out of this process. And really, the key point of this slide here is it's a mixture of reports of theoretical information and of practical stuff that can be used, in particular demonstrators. So we want as often as possible to make sure that something visible, that it's possible to see what's being done, and we have something tangible to show at all times. So in terms of the schedule and the next steps, as I said, it's running till 2012, and we have a series of input points. I talked a bit earlier about these technical steering groups that we have. So we have four of those lined up, the first of which is on the 26th of March, and this is where members are invited to come along, sit in, listen to what's going on, and where we want to collect input. So dates for your diary here in terms of industrial steering meetings. We're also looking at having a context workshop on the 14th and 15th of May with relevant core four streams, and the idea of that is to share information that's already being generated within MVCE, to make sure that we're not reinventing the wheel and really maximising research that's been done already. So the key message here really is, you know, please join in. Industry steering is really what makes MVCE so critical and so unique. And with that, that actually comes to the end. I think I'm a little bit ahead of time, which is often good for people. So thank you.